Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All lines are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session. At that time, please press star one and record your name as prompted. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn today's meeting over to Jenny Lyons. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jenny Lyons, and I'm with Public Affairs here at NOAA Fisheries. Today, we are discussing the final authorizations issued for marine mammal impacts from Atlantic Geophysical Surveys. To explain more about this, I have the privilege of introducing the Director of NOAA Fisheries Office of Protected Resources, Donna Weeding. Donna's going to provide an overview of our announcement, and then we're going to open for questions. We also have two other experts from our Office of Protected Resources with us to answer questions. Jolie Harrison is the Chief of the Permits and Conservation Division, and Benjamin Laws is one of our expert biologists. If you got our media advisory today, you have the correct spelling of their names and titles. If not, you can find that media advisory on noaa.gov or contact our public affairs team after the call. I'm going to provide our contact information at the end of this call. As a reminder, this call is for working media only. If you are not a member of the press, you are certainly welcome to listen, but please do not ask questions. This time is really reserved for reporters. With that, I'm going to turn the floor over to Donna. Donna, please go ahead.
Sure. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining the call and your interest. As Jenny said, I'm Director of NOAA Fisheries Office of Protected Resources, and NOAA Fisheries is responsible for protection and conservation of marine mammals, including whales, dolphins, seals, as well as endangered and threatened species under NIMS purview. This work involves minimizing, monitoring, and mitigating impacts, such as incidental take, and in this case, harassment to marine mammals. The MMPA, the Marine Mammal Protection Act, clearly articulates how the federal government may authorize otherwise lawful activities and may authorize take or harassment of marine mammals. Under the MMPA, in this case, NOAA Fisheries has reviewed five separate authorization requests related to marine mammals and geophysical surveys in the Atlantic Ocean. And again, I just want to emphasize that our role is to review the these requests relative to the MMPA and not to authorizing the oil and gas exploration or development itself. That is under BOEMS, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, purview and statutes. So based on the requests for take incidental to potential activities, NOAA Fisheries published a proposed authorizations. We had that out for a 45-day public review in June of 2017. And today we're announcing the finalization of those authorizations. As you can imagine, there were extensive and exhaustive comments from the public, and we have done a very thorough job in reviewing those comments and responding to them in these final authorizations. We have also, under finalizing these authorizations, we've also carefully reviewed and ensured appropriate use of best available information, best scientific information available in meeting the requirements of the MMPA, the Endangered Species Act, National Environmental Policy Act, and other implementing regulations for these geophysical surveys. With respect to the Endangered Species Act, we've ensured that the effects of the authorizations do not result in jeopardy of endangered or threatened species under the ESA, and have prepared and signed a biological opinion documenting that analysis. So the authorizations, and we'll be happy to answer some more questions about this, they require appropriate mitigation measures to reduce the impacts of survey activities to marine mammals consistent with the requirements under the MMPA. And as I said, we can talk about that in more detail. The authorizations also require monitoring and reporting of any authorized take, and again, in this case, we're talking harassment, not mortality, of marine mammals. With that, we look forward to taking your questions.
Thank you, Donna. At this time, we're going to open for reporter questions. Carolyn, can you please explain again the process for asking a question?
Thank you. We'll begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment from the phones, please press star 1. Make sure your phone is unmuted and record your name and organization as prompted. And to withdraw that request, you may press star 2. Once again, for questions or comments, press star 1 and record your information. One moment for our first question.
Our first question comes from Chris Knight with Argus Media. We are opening your line right now, and you're open.
Thanks for doing this. I just wanted to know if all five companies are doing surveys around the same time, does that kind of amplify the potential effect on marine mammals? Have you looked into what will happen when they're all doing it at the same time?
Let me go ahead and turn to Benjamin Laws for response to that.
Sure. Thanks for the question. It is possible that they could happen all at the same time, and essentially our analysis considered that as a worst-case scenario. It's also possible that they will not be taking place at the same time because some of them have specific timing windows within which they plan to operate, and other surveys that do not have those windows may not operate at those times.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the Associated Press. Matthew, your line is being opened right now. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I may have missed the beginning of the call, but do you have exactly when this is going to start and where it's going to be? I've heard Delaware, but I've also heard New Jersey down to Florida.
We do not know at this time exactly when each of the five surveys will begin. If you review the issued authorizations, which are available on our website currently, they require that the companies notify us when they wish to have the issued authorizations become effective. That notification must occur within 1 year from the date of issuance, which is today. That is designed to allow these companies the time to make the logistical arrangements that they need to make for ship time, things of that nature, as well as for the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management to complete their process in order to actually permit the survey.
And I think Jolie also wanted to add something.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I apologize for not jumping in. I was actually going to add something to Ben's answer about the simultaneous potential timing of the surveys, just to add that you've looked at a map, but the activities are, you know, going to occur over a very large spatial scale. And so even in fact, if they were going on during the same time, you know, there's a pretty low likelihood that they would be impacting the same marine mammals or habitats during those times. I just wanted to add that to Ben's answer. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Molly Samuel, our next question comes from you at WAB.
Hi there. How will you all make accommodations for North Atlantic right whales, which have had such a terrible few years? Will there be restrictions on calving grounds or, you know, when they're migrating? Hello?
We're getting we'll be with you just 1 second here.
Okay.
Sure. We recognize the concern about the North Atlantic right whale as expressed by our agency in different contexts, and we do require strong protections for North Atlantic right whales in areas where they are expected to be present, including all designated critical habitat and additional seasonal management areas throughout the survey area. Right whales are expected to be present in these areas, generally speaking, between November 1st and April 30th, and during this time, companies may not conduct surveys within 90 kilometers from shore. That distance is the result of our own spatial analysis, which makes use of the best available scientific information concerning the abundance and distribution of right whales at different months of the year. Alternatively, companies may develop and submit a monitoring and mitigation plan for NIMS approval that would be sufficient to achieve comparable protection for North Atlantic right whales. However, no such plans have been submitted to date. There are also dynamic management areas that may be temporarily closed whenever whales are observed in those areas. And in addition, if a right whale is sighted within 1.5 kilometers of the active survey vessel at any time, they must shut down their sound source.
Our next question comes from Sarah Gibbons at the National Geographic. Sarah, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I'm curious, I have two quick questions. Were marine mammals specifically the only form of wildlife looked at when gauging potential risk here? And the second question is if this will conflict with Florida's ban on offshore drilling, if at all.
So with relation to the incidental harassment authorizations that were issued under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, our analysis there considered the potentially affected marine mammal species as well as their habitat, which can include prey species and effects to those species. As required, there was also a consultation under Section 7 of the Endangered Species Act that additionally considered impacts to non-marine mammal species that are listed under the Endangered Species Act.
Our next question comes from Annie at the New Hampshire Public Radio. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Can you talk more about why the geographic area for these surveys is limited to the Mid-Atlantic and South, and is there a potential for future surveys in the North Atlantic and New England as well?
The geographic location of the survey, it was not determined by NOAA Fisheries, so we really can't speak to where future surveys may occur, as that is determined both by industry interest in the data obtained through the survey effort, as well as by the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management's decisions regarding offshore leasing.
This is Jolie. I'll just add, we replied to the requests that we receive, and so we addressed the geographic areas that were included in the company's applications.
Our next question comes from Jenny at the Miami Herald. Jenny, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. So if I understand correctly, these applications were rejected in 2017. Can you explain what's different now and why they're being approved generally?
Just give us a moment. We'll get back to you just in a moment.
Okay.
Sure. We believe that what you're probably referring to is the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management's decision to deny permits that were requested according to their statutory authority under the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act back in the beginning of 2017. That was, I believe, in January 2017. And then later, I believe, in May of 2017, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management also reversed that decision. So they would need to speak to that decision.
Yeah, that's a question best positioned for BOEM. And Jenny, I believe I have your contact information, but if you don't mind following up with me post-call, I'm happy to get you in touch with their public affairs department to get you some answers to that end of line of questioning. Our next question comes from Michael Warren. Michael, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I had two questions. One was, if I haven't seen the names of the companies anywhere, I don't know if you guys can just mention those briefly, the five companies. And then the second question is, when was the last time this kind of seismic surveying was done in the Atlantic, specifically in the Mid-Atlantic near New Jersey? That's what I'm writing for.
Sure. So with regard to the company's names, and we would refer you as well to our website where the issued authorizations can be found. But those five companies' names are Spectrum Geo, TGS, CGG, Western GECO, and ION. With regard to the second question, these types of surveys have not occurred in the Atlantic Ocean, at least, for the purposes of surveying for hydrocarbon prospectivity since, I'm not exactly sure, but since probably the 80s. But these similar types of surveys have occurred in the Atlantic as recently as, I believe, 2015 for academic research purposes.
Our next question comes from Brian at Platt.
Yeah, hi, thanks. You said that this testing will have to take place within 1 year of these authorizations. Just wanted to make sure I had that right. And is there any timing on how long the seismic surveys actually take to conduct? In other words, I know that there's a Mid and South Atlantic lease sale currently proposed for 2020. Will these surveys be available by then?
We can't speak to that, but what we can say is that the maximum term of effectiveness for an incidental harassment authorization is 1 year. So essentially, the latest end date, the latest expiration date of these IHAs would be November 30th of 2020, assuming that some company notified us of the beginning of their activity as late as November 30th of 2019.
The next question is from Ben at Axios. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, thanks for doing the call. Just from a process standpoint, what now needs to happen from the Interior Department to allow these companies to actually get into the water and do these tests?
Yeah, this is something we can't really speak to. This is under BOEM's process and rules and statutes. And I don't, Jenny, if you want to repeat that other
So,
point.
Yeah, please get in touch with me afterwards, and I can give you the contacts at BOEM who are appropriate for this in their public affairs department. And I'm going to give you my contact information again at the end, but just so you have it in front of you, my email is Jenny, J-E-N-N-I-E, dot Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, at NOAA.gov. Thank you. Our next question comes from Catherine Schmidt at Upstream Newspaper.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for doing this. Can you talk about how was this process different from the process that you folks typically use to review Gulf of Mexico seismic surveys? And how did different things factor into that, if at all?
Specifically contrasting with the process in the Gulf of Mexico, and caveating that we can't speak to BOEM's process for actually permitting the surveys, what we can say is that in June of this year, we proposed incidental take regulations following a petition from the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. That process is in process. We have not finalized that regulation process yet. Right. Yeah, we're currently involved in environmental compliance process in the Gulf of Mexico. We're working with the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management on National Environmental Policy Act compliance as well as MMPA and ESA compliance. Companies have been gathering information at locations in the Gulf of Mexico for a long time with observers, and we have a lot of information showing what happens in those actions. So in the Atlantic, we were requested to issue these incidental harassment authorizations, and we worked with the applicants to produce adequate and complete applications, and then as you saw in June of 2017, we published notice of the proposed authorizations for public comment before considering that input and the input from the Marine Mammal Commission, and then as announced today, making our final determinations and issuing the authorization.
I am showing no more questions in the queue right now. I'm sure we probably have some, so it's star one if you want to get in line to ask a question, and we'll give just a second for those questions to come in. Star one to ask a question. Okay, our follow-up question comes from Molly Samuel. Molly, we're opening your line, and you're open.
Thanks. I want to just confirm that it's incidental harassment, but not take, i.e., it's okay to annoy but not kill. Is that, annoy is probably putting it too lightly, but it's not. You're not issuing any permits for killing, for takes.
That's correct.
Our next question comes from Bo Peterson at the Post and Courier.
Thank you. I appreciate this. You talk about, as part of the regulations involving incidental take, extended monitoring, surveying, and, of course, cutback shutdowns and stuff like that when a right whale is spotted. the spotting vehicles, the spotting aircraft for white whales, cut back their range considerably. South Carolina, where we are, is no longer part of that range, except the far southern part. Is there any parameter on the fisheries part to basically fund those surveys to the extended?
I think there may be a misunderstanding. What we're referring to is the detection of right whales from the survey vessel. So the survey vessels are required to carry what we refer to as protected species observers. Those are visual observers as well as acoustic observers monitoring required passive acoustic monitoring systems. And so our primary strategy with regard to right whales is to avoid the places where we expect they may be present, but in the event that they are detected, the 1.5-kilometer shutdown distance that was mentioned would be in effect.
The next question comes from Mary Landers at the Savannah Morning News. Mary, your line is now open.
Okay, thanks. I know you said that you address marine mammals and their prey. Is there anything that addresses finfish or invertebrates like jellyfish that would be endangered species prey?
So, yeah, I think as you mentioned, we did address the potential for impacts to marine mammal prey species. There are, again, as you mentioned, I believe there are certain fish species that are listed under the Endangered Species Act and which were addressed in interagency consultation between NOAA Fisheries and the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management concerning their proposed action of issuing the permits. Separately, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, I believe, has a requirement to consult with NOAA Fisheries under the Essential Fish Habitat provisions of the Magnuson-Stevens Act. So that would be a conversation topic for BOEM.
The next question comes from Reuters. Timothy.
Oh, hi, thanks. Benjamin was just talking about the protected species observers monitoring systems. So if those pick up a right whale or other protected species, does that information ever get transmitted to anyone in the government, or is it just the company that would be aware of it? Thank you.
The Marine Mammal Protection Act requires that we prescribe monitoring and reporting measures. And so, as required, the issued authorizations do include requirements for the companies to report this and additional information to us. Those reports are, after review by NOAA Fisheries, they will ultimately be made available to the public on our website.
Our next question comes from Elizabeth with Southeast Energy News.
Yes, thanks. Two questions, if I can. One is, why now? Can you just explain the timing of this decision?
Simply that we completed the process. The applications had come in. We've completed the process, and so we've finalized them, and that's why we're issuing them now. Not really anything more than that.
As we have one question left in line, so again, please press star one if you'd like to ask a question, but Nick Snow with Oil and Gas Journal, we are opening your line right now. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I wondered if you could go over again the requirement to have observers aboard the vessels to detect the presence of whales, because apparently there are times of the year when the whales are present in an area, but they're not around at other times of the year.
That may be true for certain species, but there are other species with no known seasonality to their occurrence within the region of interest here, meaning that they could well be present at any time of year. So the requirement to carry protected species observers is relevant year-round.
Our next question comes from Mark at the Coastal Review online, and while he's getting queued up again, star one to get in line to ask questions. Mark, please go ahead.
Yes, outside of the shutdown mechanisms you described, is there a way to halt operations if, say, whales start beaching themselves, outside of the monitoring area?
Sure. The first thing is to be clear that there are no known occurrences of that exact type of event happening in association with a seismic survey, and we do not expect that is going to happen here. That said, the issued authorizations do include requirements for what the company should do if there is a stranding event such as what you described.
And before we go to our next question, I think Jolie wanted to just chime in on one quick point.
Oh, sure. We were talking about timing a second ago. Thanks, Donna. I just wanted to add for the folks listening, our general goal obviously is to address the requests that we get for authorization as quickly as we can and appropriately, looking at the information that we need to look at. But this particular action, I think folks have noticed, has taken significantly longer. It's an outlier sort of in the amount of time that it's taken to get these issued. And there are a couple of things. One is, we obviously look very closely at the best available information. And there were some key pieces that became available during this process that took us some extra time to analyze. And then further, we did receive in the area of 120,000 public comments. And so obviously we take our obligation to respond to and address those as appropriate very seriously, and it took us a while to do that. Thank you.
Thanks, Jolie. Our next question is from Carrie Sheridan with AFP. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks for taking my question. Just a couple of points. I was wondering if on one you could give a bit of context. I think someone mentioned that this might have been done in the 80s in this area, but do you have any more historical context about this? And the second question is just sometimes I listen to these calls and they're difficult to figure out. And most of us write for lay audiences and try to explain these things on a maybe 12-year-old level. What would you say is the reason why you decided that this sort of activity would be okay? Thanks.
Well, to address the first question, wouldn't hazard to try to offer any further information about that. That's not something that we have information about, and it may be a question that's better directed to the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. With regard to why we decided to issue these things, first, again, I understand that it is complicated. We would refer you to the documents that are available on our website, which describe our analyses and decisions in full. But I think, in summary, amongst other findings, we are required to make a finding of negligible impact under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which relates to, what do we think will ultimately be the effects of the described takings. That's a regulatory term, but those are effects that happen to individual marine mammals. And so it's our responsibility to try to understand what ultimately those effects to individuals will mean for populations of animals. And so that's what we did here. And while we do understand from the available science that there is the known possibility that these surveys will result in effects to individuals, and that those effects to individuals, at least theoretically, can accrue to impacts on populations, our analysis shows that we shouldn't expect that there will be impacts greater than negligible on annual rates of recruitment or survival for these populations. I think that's probably about as simple as I can make it. Sorry.
Well, and this is Jolie. I'll also add, I mean, the other part of the findings that we have to make is ensuring that we have, you know, an appropriate amount of mitigation in place. And we really went to great lengths here to make sure that we understood what the effects are, and we have some, as we talk about, you know, shutdown sort of to make sure that we're not exposing animals up close and subjecting them to potential hearing damage, but then the time area closures as well, and especially for, you know, right whales, which we are really concerned about. We have a very, very, you know, extensive time area closure in place for them, and so we felt as though we were able to make the appropriate findings in that prong of our analysis as well.
Well, we're queuing up the next question from Michael Warren. I just want to remind you guys, this is your chance. We've got the experts here. Please get in line to ask your questions. Star one to get in line. And Michael, we are opening your line now, so feel free. Go ahead. You're open.
Okay. I know that there's typically each year a few unusual mortality events declared, and recently there have been unusual mortality events declared for whales of various species in the Atlantic. Going forward with this, how would a declaration of a UME affect these surveys? Would it cause things to be paused while investigation was done, or could work continue?
Right. So, I mean, I guess it sounds like what you're asking about is if there's a future declaration of a UME that hasn't happened yet. I think the short answer is that it would not necessarily mean that, you know, the activities would stop or that additional activities could not occur. What it is an important piece of information for us to consider as part of our analysis. You know, to put it in context, though, and I think, you know, for right whales, everyone's aware that there is an ongoing UME, and it's something that NOAA Fisheries is very concerned about and which we considered in full in our analysis here. But to consider, for example, the humpback whale UME, which is also ongoing, our current total of declared mortalities as part of that UME is something on the order of 80. And, you know, while it is of concern and the investigation is ongoing, we put it in context of the population, and the best available abundance estimates for that breeding population are something like 10,000 whales. And so, you know, what that tells us is that it doesn't necessarily mean that these activities can't occur.
Right, and just to add in, as we mentioned before, you know, these activities are not resulting in mortality either, but we have definitely considered the status of populations that have ongoing UMEs in our consideration of how the activities that we're suggesting, you know, that we're authorizing the harassment could affect them. So we've considered them, yes.
So it's a piece of information to consider, but hard to speculate about future possibilities is what we would say there. Randy Shostak, you are up next with a question.
Yes, hi. Thanks for doing this. This is probably an obvious question with an obvious answer, but let me ask it anyway.
Can't hear you, Randy.
Hello? Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yep, better.
Okay. As I was saying, this is probably an obvious question with an obvious answer, but I'd really like to hear from each of you anyway. I'd like to hear from each of you your thoughts about why you think this issue has generated so many comments and so much interest.
This is Donna Weeding. Randy, I don't know. There's quite a bit of interest across the board from many different places and different folks, and hard to exactly tell what all is inspiring interest. We're responsible for protection and conservation of marine mammals and endangered species, and not really able to speculate on what is driving people's interest in this area or this issue.
Yeah, we're not inside their head, for sure. So showing no further questions right now, I'm going to give you guys a chance to just press star one if you do have any other further questions before we go ahead and close up the call. Star one to get in line to ask a question. We'll pause for just a second, giving you a chance to do so. All right. Well, seeing no further questions, I think we will go ahead and close up this call. And thank you so much, Carolyn. Thank you, Donna and Ben and Jolie. Thank you, everyone, for joining our call. If you have further questions that come to your mind, please feel free to contact me and my team directly. My name, again, is Jenny Lyons. You can reach us at our public affairs team number at 301-427-8003 or follow up by email, Jenny, J-E-N-N-I-E, .Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, at NOAA, N-O-A-A, .gov. Thank you.
That concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.